Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today we're going to continue our study in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, of course, written by Jeremiah about the time of the destruction or the siege at Jerusalem before the destruction by the Babylonians. The first desolation that followed abomination, the abomination that maketh desolate. We're in chapter 2 and verse 14. Jeremiah begins, "Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment." Not really sure I understand what the causes of banishment is there. But I do understand what the false burden. "Have seen for thee false burdens, vain and foolish things." And Jeremiah's time was a time where the nation was coming into distress because of the burden of their transgression. The nation was being weighed down with judgment. And it didn't just come on suddenly. It came on gradually over the years. And when things start going wrong, people start looking to the prophets, the Bible, the spiritual leaders of their land for answers. And they told them, well, everything's good. This was all prophesied. But they never caused them to look at themselves and repent. They never made them look at themselves as the cause for the judgment that was coming upon the nation, but rather told them smooth things and burdened them with other things other than the truth, so that they would not turn away thy captivity, as it's written here in the Authorized King James Version. It says, "They have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity." And that's what all the prophets of the land where I live today are busy doing. They don't discover your iniquity. They don't point out to you your sin so that you can turn away the judgment that is coming. Rather, they tell you that what's wrong with the world, how you can fix it, or they feed you a fantasy like the whole Left Behind. Don't worry about a thing. You're going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. Yes, we see the world is changing and all of the prophecy is being fulfilled. But don't worry, when the 7-year tribulation that they made up, when that period of time, which is total fabrication out of the scripture, no, Daniel's 70th week is past, I'm sorry. It's a total fabrication. See, that's another burden they put on you. Is because the thing is, when their 7-year tribulation comes, you're not going to be raptured out. I'm sorry. Get ready for it, all you rapturous. And there are a lot, it still amazes me, you know, that people believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, and they hold so tightly to that little hope that they're going to fly away, you know, just like in the movie, in the Left Behind movies. They're just going to fly away. And then you go on, a lot of people made these cute little videos on YouTube and other places about the rapture. All of a sudden, you know, they're taking a film and boom, all the books drop to the floor and there's a big boom. And of course they stop the film. And then in the next frame, everybody's gone except for some poor guy who got left behind. See how that works? I like the movie. It's really kind of neat. You know, planes are crashing and cars are slamming into each other because of course all those good little Christians that believed in the rapture, they disappeared. And then those that didn't believe, I guess, they got left behind. And so they're left behind and they get to run around and fight the mark of the beast and have all the fun. because all the pre-tribulation rapturists got taken away. That's all a fantasy. So when the seven-year period starts, oh, the folly goes on anyway. But people really seriously believe it. Like I said, it's amazing to me that people have bought into this thing. But they're going to start their tribulation period and nobody's going to be raptured. And like I say, they'll have to say, well, it's mid-trib, and then that's going to pass, and then it's going to be post-trib. And of course, there's no such thing, because after the tribulation, supposedly, is supposed to be the resurrection. You know, the last trump sounds, and the dead in Christ are resurrected first, and those that are alive and remain shall caught up to meet them. And that's not really a rapture, as they teach it. It's supposedly the resurrection. Anyway, so they've got their fantasy today, and they had their fantasy in Jeremiah's time. And Jeremiah here, along with Ezekiel, talking about it. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee. That's kind of foolish, you know. I mean, I do believe in the resurrection of the dead. I know that's going to happen when the last trump sounds. But it has nothing to do with a seven-year tribulation period. Yes, there will be 7 years before it happens, but the scripture nowhere separates that 7 years out from any other 7 years in the Bible, except it's, you know, it's not really Daniel's 70th week. That is past. So that the whole seven-year tribulation is a deception. And so anyone waiting for that, well, you're going to be disappointed when you're not raptured out. You're going to be all left behind. Maybe you'll figure out that you weren't quite good enough to be raptured out. Maybe you didn't go to confession enough or something, or go down the aisle enough times. That must be it. That's why it didn't happen, you see. You'll think of something anyway, for all you diehard pre-tribulation rapturous out there. No, I'm not a pre-tribulation or a mid-tribulation or a post-tribulation. The scripture plainly talks about tribulation. It said in this life you will have tribulation. You know, that was right. I believe that. Yeah, that seems to be padded out pretty good for me. In this life I'm having tribulation. But it has nothing to do with a seven-year period. It just has to do with the whole period of my life. You know, seems to have tribulation with it. So false prophets in Jeremiah's days, false prophets in the Messiah's day, you know, the Messiah was giving them prophecy and they didn't like it. Not one bit. I mean, Daniel got sick, you know, when the angel told him about the end of his nation. And that was 500 years in advance. And he got sick. He didn't like it. Fred, you can read that account for yourself. He got sick when he heard that how many years were determined for Israel. And that was pretty much the end of the nation as a special set apart nation to the Almighty as his as the centerpiece for what he was teaching the whole earth and all nations. He was using Israel. And so Daniel got sick. And then the Messiah comes along, just as Daniel said he would in the 490 years prophecy, the 70 weeks, the 69 weeks unto Messiah the Prince, you know, 67 unto Messiah the Prince. Threescore and 69 weeks anyway. I guess that's not 67. That would be 69, wouldn't it? But anyway, 69 weeks unto Messiah. The Messiah showed up right on time. That's right. He was down there at the Jordan River being baptized by John the Baptist, and the dove came upon him. He was anointed by the Heavenly Father, who said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And he began his ministry. That last 7 years of the Daniel 70 weeks began then. And he said, and he started telling people things like, "They're going to kill me, but don't worry, I'm going to rise after 3 days." That's right. And he said, also, look at this temple here. Not one stone is going to be left upon another. And then he said things like, well, you know, the Romans are going to come in and they're going to kill you with the edge of the sword, or they're going to take you captive and sell you into the nations to be slaves. And the nation is not going to exist. Jerusalem's going to be over with. the temple is going to be destroyed. It's all going to be gone. Well, that was pretty unpopular, you know, at Jesus in his day, in Yeshua's day. And nobody wanted to hear that, so they bought into the popular prophecy. You know, thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee. They ignored Daniel. They ignored Jeremiah. They ignored Ezekiel. They ignored the Messiah. Well, almost all of them ignored. There was a remnant that believed the prophets. They were looking for the Messiah. Of course, the corporate church leaders who had their position by the state, the Roman state at that time, they weren't looking for the Messiah. They were getting tired of all the messiahs that were showing up, and they didn't want to believe that their nation would end. As a matter of fact, my study in the calendars turned up some very interesting things. One interesting thing is that the dating on the Hebrew calendar today excludes about 165 or to 180 years, something in there. And so their calendar is behind. So you have to add, you know, a couple hundred years to their calendar, almost 200 years to their calendar to get it right, about 180 years actually, because they count the 70 weeks, the 490 years in their calendar. My research, I found that out, how they came to their calculation, is they do count the 70 weeks, the 490 years, but they count it from the destruction of the temple by the Babylonians to the destruction of the temple by the Romans, 490 years. So they leave out the 70 years desolation, and they leave out, and after the 70 years desolation, it was another 58 years to the rebuilt, to the beginning of the 490 years. So they leave out right there 70 plus 58, 128 years right there before the 70 weeks begins. And then, of course, they leave out almost another 40 years after the 70 weeks ends, because it was 40 years from the crucifixion to the destruction. It was 29 AD to 50 to 59 or 60 AD. It was 29, 30 AD was the crucifixion and resurrection year, to 59, 68 or 70 AD, 69, 70 AD. That was 40 years, right? Yeah, 40 years. So it was 40 years from there. So they leave that out too. So you add all that up and you've got about 170 years approximately that they leave out of their calendar. Anyway, so that's where the false prophets lead you anyway. They lead you into vain. They see vain and foolish things. The whole 70 weeks left behind prophecy is vain and foolish. It's a vain and foolish thing to believe that Daniel's 70th week did not literally, as the literal interpretation would have it, 70 follows 69. When the Heavenly Father gives you a chronology for prophecy, and he says, and he gives you the years that it's going to happen in, you can't just throw that out and say, we could have put a gap in here. You know, that's why he gave us the chronology, is so that we know it would happen in the time allotted to it. See, that's vain. It's foolish. Just because you want to, because it makes you comfortable, or because the Pope don't like it, because it identified him as the Antichrist. So he came up with this counter-reformation. I mean, the Pope and his minions, of course, those Jesuits like Ribera, Alcazar, and then all of their little puppets that came along and built on their theory, on their false eschatology, counter-reformation eschatology. So thy prophets, Lamentations 2:14, thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee. Nothing has changed, you know, it's still the same thing. The nation went astray, they fell into sin and idolatry, the abomination, you know, the overspreading of abomination brought about the desolation of the nation. And so we have it today. We have the overspreading of abomination in America. They had the overspreading of abomination in the time of the Messiah when he showed up. The nation was fully, completely gone into idolatry both times. Now look at America today, fully, completely going into idolatry. You see how that works? There's plenty to be learned from the scripture, plenty to be learned from history. But we still have these prophets out here prophesying vain and foolish things. Don't worry. Yes, I'll fly away. You know, you're going to fly away and don't get left behind, my friends. That's right. We're going to have Daniel 70th week, take two. That's right. We get to put an indeterminable amount of time between the 69th and 70th so it could happen for us the way we want. And don't worry, you'll be raptured out before anything bad happens. So just go along your merry way, skipping down the path of life. You just make sure you go down the aisle once a week, or you go to the confession, you know, whatever the church requires, and pay your tithes and go along. That's right. And don't worry, because nothing bad is going to happen to you. You will be raptured out. Vain and foolish things for thee. That's what they have prophesied. They have not discovered thine iniquity, nor turned away thy captivity. Yes, the judgment. They have not turned away the judgment. Really, they have not turned it away. Because repentance is what will turn away the judgment. If you don't repent, well, the judgment's coming, isn't it? If the nation doesn't repent, if the church doesn't repent, you know, everything's fine, all the little people in the church, that's, you keep going to your corporate church every week and you keep listening to the Counter-Reformation eschatology being preached by your corporate leader up there every week. And don't worry, you'll be pre-tribulation raptured out. You don't have to stop living your life the way you're living it. It's good enough. Yes, that's right. You don't have to prepare for judgment. You don't have to prepare for what's coming on the nation, because you will be raptured out. Vain and foolish things, they have not discovered thine iniquity, nor turned away thy captivity. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All thine enemies had opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day that we looked for. We have found, we have seen it. Yahuwah, the Lord, hath done that which he devised. He hath fulfilled his word that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied. He hath caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thine adversaries. Their heart cried unto the Lord. O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat their fruit, and children of a span long? Shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger. Thou hast killed and not pitied. Thou hast called as in a solemn day my terrors round about, so that in the day of the Lord, the Lord's anger, and that's the Heavenly Father by name, Yahuwah, in the day of his anger, none escaped, nor remained. Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. Chapter 3 and verse 1. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. Hath he broken my bones? He hath built against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in a secret places. He hath turned aside my ways, and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow, and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He has covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. The lament of Jeremiah when judgment comes. Don't count on a pre-tribulation rapture. It's coming.